But some of them are actually edifying. If you hear a song that's a love song, makes you think about your wife and gets you all puddled up in the back story of your eyes there, that's a good thing. You know, whatsoever things are good, pure, good report, think on these things. That's fine. Music means to muse, to think on. But you need to be careful what you're listening to. But this passage is talking about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, when was the last time you said, Lord, this is for you, you know, in your heart. You're just singing to Him. That's fellowship. That's fellowshipping with God. We need to be fellowshipping with one another, be fellowshipping with God. Now, you all have, I don't know if any of you remember this. I remember learning the poem, The Forest, I think it was called. I don't remember the name of it so much, but I remember the words. It was Robert Frost's poem about whose woods are these, I think I know. His house is in the village. I had to stand up front of a whole class in sixth grade and give my poem. And I was scared, you know. But I did it. And what I'm saying is, you and I need to sometimes square our shoulders and just sing to God. Make up our minds we're going to do a little solo for God. And I'll tell you, some of you need to sing solo. Nobody else can hear. But you need to sing to God, okay? But He says speaking. He says singing. He says praising or thanking. You see, when you're thankful, it's hard to be discontent. When everything's going wrong, count your blessings, name them one by one, right? And then finally, submitting. Now, here is where we begin to dovetail into the marriage thing. Because a lot of guys today want to say, well, I'm a counselor, and I'm a psychologist, and I'm a therapist, and I'm going to tell you, this says submitting one another. And look, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. See, we're all supposed to be submitting to one another, though, because it says, husbands, love your wife, he's supposed to be submitting. Listen, that is not what it's saying. Don't let people take your scroll. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. It has a purpose. It has a plan. The context is walk in love. How do you walk in love? If you're a wife, you walk in love by arranging yourself under your husband. That is your act of love. You're saying, I'm going to love you, and my love for you is I'm going to kind of get down under here. I'm going to try to support you and encourage you, and I'm going to tell you you're doing okay when you're doing okay. Sometimes I'm going to have to tell you, you know, I'm not thinking you're doing okay. But I'm going to love you, and I'm going to do it with a loving appeal. I'm going to love you by submitting. That is what a woman's walk in love, walk in wisdom, walk as light does. Okay? Her walk in love is a walk of submitting, arranging herself under her husband, because there's something bigger than her. We'll talk about that further in a moment. But what I want you to understand here is these things about being filled with the Spirit have to do with speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting. And when he says submitting yourselves one to another, he's talking about us all submitting to one another in the church. You know, when we come to church, we ought not come to see what we can get, but what we can give. That's what the biblical paradigm is. That's what God wants us to do. We come in to serve. We come in to serve and get under and do what we can to make everybody else's experience in Jesus Christ the best it can be. We don't come in, well, what can I get? Well, they didn't do what I wanted them to do. They don't have what I wanted them to have. That isn't the way it is, you know. But yet we have so many choices today. We can walk away from this church, and this church. And God says, don't go in looking for what you can get. Go in looking for what you can give. How you can serve. How you can get under and bolster everybody else, you know. I've heard people talk about the idea that they had a certain gift and then they wish they could use that gift, and yet they're not willing to do it because nobody else has that gift in the room. You know what? The reason you've got the gift and somebody else doesn't is because you're supposed to be using it in the room. But what we want to do is we want to pool our gifts, so everybody who's all about music goes to the music church, and everybody who's all about teaching goes to the teaching. We need to kind of use our gifts. If there's something lacking in the local church, you need to say, how can I contribute in that area if I see it? All I'm saying is the passage talks about intertwining us one with another. That's what being filled with the Spirit is, connecting with one another, having the mind of Christ, and then carrying it out. And when he says in verse 8, let your eye fall down if you would, to verse 22, it says, wives, it's in the imperative, and it's in the middle voice, which means you must submit yourselves. That's how it would read. You must submit yourselves. See, he's saying submit one to another, meaning everybody needs to submit to everybody, but especially you wives need to submit yourselves to your own husband. Now, I'm just going to throw this in because I think it's funny. It says your own, and the word is idios, husband. Okay, but it's your own is what idios means. Id, ego, super, id, anyway, idios. Anyway, he's not an idiot home husband. But I thought it was funny, so I just share that as a little something. Twisted minds, I don't know what to say. But nevertheless, it says, Submit yourself to your own husband. You have to do it. You have to do it on purpose. It's your calling. And therein lies the second point. We've seen the context. God wants you to walk a certain way. In a word, in love. He wants you to walk in love. Now, if you walk in love, wives, what does it look like? Your calling is to arrange yourself under your husband. And the Bible says in verse 22, you must submit yourselves to your own husbands. Look at this. As unto the Lord. Very important. If you're a lady, you might want to underline those words. Because God says you're only as spiritual as you are rightly related to your husband. You can know all the chapters and verses and you can pray all day long, but if you harbor bitterness and you try to overthrow and undercut and undermine your husband, you're not walking in the Spirit. He says you need to walk in love. He says you need to submit yourself unto your husbands as to the Lord. How much should you submit to the Lord? Absolutely, completely. All of us should submit to the Lord completely. You've often seen perhaps that little triangle some psychologists say. You know, if you want to get close to your husband, you know what you need to do? You need to get closer to God, right? You've heard that? Everybody heard that? I've heard that. It occurred to me as I was getting ready for our month of love here for the Sunday school hour that it's not that, because this passage tells me if I want to get closer to God, I need to get closer to my husband if I'm a woman. Really? Isn't that what it says? Wives, you must submit yourself, you must arrange yourself under in a military fashion under your husbands as to the Lord. Why? Well, because you are called to this. In verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Some of you guys are sitting there over ready feeling inside. I'm going to knock them around. See, I'm the head. Well, I want to give you a little lesson on the word head here. The word head is from a word that literally means to seize. Okay? So it was connected to the word to seize because if the head was chopped off, life was destroyed. And what I'm saying is that the head, capto, is the idea that you are the one who really generates life in that family. You either kill it or you create it. Your job, and he's just kind of hinting at it, we'll see it further in a minute, it's not about you being in charge, it's about you being responsible. You can make that family a joy or you can make it a chore. Your job is to be the head. And he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, in verse 23, even as Christ is the head of the church. How is Christ the head of the church? Absolute, completely. He's the one who says, we're going to go here. You know, we've got this egalitarian mindset today. Your career wife is as good as his career husband. And, you know, it's a flip of the coin in where are we going to spend our lives and how are we going to go? God says, no. God says if you want to know the paradigm, he says husbands are the head of the wife. He's the one who gives he calls the tune. This is the way we're going to go. Now, if he's doing a wrong thing, we're not really responding to that here. He's got other passages on that. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 and 1 Peter chapter 3, you got a husband who's kind of not on task here and not doing the right thing. There's answers to that. This is assuming a family that wants to be in order, walking in love. This is saying here's how it should look. Wives, arrange yourself under your husbands. Why? Because the man is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Verse 24, he says, So let the wives be to their own husbands, even as the church is subject to Christ. How should the church be subject to Christ? Folks, listen. The church isn't subject to Christ today. The church doesn't want to be subject. Because what's happening is behind the sacred desk, many preachers are saying, what do you all want to hear? And we'll give it to you. And in our homes, our husbands are saying, wife, what do you want? And we'll do what you want to do. It's all inverted. It's happening everywhere. I was talking to someone recently. I asked them, I said, are you looking for the Lord to come soon? And they said, well, I don't know. Post-trib, pre-bill, pre-trib, pre-whatever. And they were going on telling me how they really had a church where they didn't really talk about that because they didn't want anybody to really, really get upset. You know, we all just want to get along. Now, folks, this is a day where we need to know what the blessed hope is. And the blessed hope is Jesus could come at any moment. And Christ needs the church to be submitted to him. And when we're submitted to him, he says it, we believe it, that settles it. That's how the church is. Anything else is a Bible study. You can study the Bible all day and everybody can kind of have their little thoughts. But the Bible says pastors are to be shepherds and to lead people into good pasture. What is the good pasture? The good pasture is a place where you can feed your soul. Folks, we saw last week that you and I are supposed to be living because the grace of God that appeared to all men teaches us some stuff. It teaches us we need to deny the flow of ungodliness, the flow of the world, and we need to be looking for the glorious hope, the great, the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. We're supposed to be looking for that. If you're not looking for that, then you're probably not really walking right with God because you're not worried that you're going to have to give account today. You see, that glorious appearing, the imminent of return of Jesus Christ, makes me realize I better get it together because He's watching and He could come at any moment. And if I factor that out because I'm listening to the church, then I'm not doing my job as a pastor. I'm not shepherding. Now, my point in saying that is, just like we're supposed to be submitted to Christ as a church, wives need to be submitted to their husbands. Why? Because the very first ordinance, we say as Baptists, we have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, but really we have three. And the one supersedes the church age. The third ordinance is the ordinance of the home. God ordained the home. God ordained the husband and the wife to be shadowy images in the real world of what God's relationship is with His people. Just like baptism is a shadowy picture of what truly happens mystically, we are in Christ. We are buried with Him. When He was buried, we were in Him. When He rose, we rose with Him. It's a picture of our death, burial, and resurrection identification with Christ. The Lord's Supper, a picture of His body broken, a picture of His blood shed. That is a picture. The shadowy picture in our marriages, folks, is Christ and the church. And it has been so since the beginning of time. Paul says at the end of chapter 5, let your eye fall down. He says in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He says, wives, your calling is to arrange yourself under your husband and try to vibrate there at that point for his success. Try to get on target for his success. Because just like the church, when it's doing the right thing, it animates the person of Christ in the world's eyes, you as a wife do that to your husband. I don't know if I make sense when I'm saying I'm trying to make sense. Your job is to make him look good. And folks, listen, most of us guys need you to make us look good. In fact, the Bible says this. It says, the glory of a man is his wife. Did you know that? That's what his glory is. You got on his arm. He's like, man, look what I got. Woo! She's with me. Everybody's like, whoa! Now, folks, listen, if you're not going to satisfy your calling, what you're doing is you're besmirching the picture. You're saying, well, I don't know about all that. I don't care. I think we ought to all just get along and be equal. Well, that isn't how God wanted it to be. The ordinance is God created a male and female. And in the garden it was perfect. It was good. She knew she was a helper. Out of the gate there was no question. She was a helper. She was an assistant. She was somebody there to support and be his cheerleader. I always had a problem with yell leaders because it's kind of weird when the guy's over there yelling, go! Isn't that weird? Now, I got to say, Ronald Reagan was a yell leader. I don't know if you knew that. He was. He was a yell leader in college. But the girls, now, guys would go charge hell with a squirt gun if a girl's back there. Say, you can do it, honey. I'm behind you. And you know, when they start putting women in battle, what happens? Everything's put on its ear. Guys say, hey, if the girls are going to go over and fight the war, I'll just stay here and play some video games. But if somebody's trying to come in your house, what are you going to do? You're going to man up. You're going to say no. Give me the gun, honey. You go in back there in the bedroom. I'll be out here in a minute. If you hear something, you run out that window. You hear me? I'm going in. Now, folks, that's the way God had intended it to be. And He says that you're supposed, your calling is that you're actually supposed to be undergirding